Every now and then, I have to be honest with you, as I always am, there are times when I wonder, why did we make this a six-hour program? Especially if I get a little sleepy. You know, my day starts around 4 o'clock Saturday morning. And for years and years, we were on from 6 until 10. And even though I wonder that sometimes when I start to get a little tired, I realize that if it were not for the extended time that we have, we would not be able to do what we did in our last hour with two ninth grade playwrights talking about the one-act plays they wrote and an additional play acted out as part of City Theater's Young Playwrights Festival, nor would we have met the big sister and little sister combination that we introduced you to. But we also wouldn't be able to do what we are about to do. And SLB has always been about the beauty and the gems that are within our midst and the incredible human potential that's in our midst. And here in Pittsburgh, unbeknownst to you perhaps, is a trio of incredible musicians that specialize in playing music from Venezuela, traditional Venezuelan folk music. And we'll talk more about them as the hour goes on. But this is the reason we're here until noon Saturday mornings, so that we can enjoy what you're about to hear, the Candelvia Trio. There you have the Candelvia Trio, and we'll meet each member in just a few moments. But I want to start with Lejo, who you've met before, perhaps. You've heard him play with Emily Pinkerton in the past as part of our Solar Concert Series and also on the air. You named this trio in memory and to honor your parents.
Yeah.
And can you explain that?
Well,
well, I mean, their names first. It's a combination of their names.
It's a combination. Sorry. My dad, his name was Candelario, his second name. Because in Venezuela, we still have like two names and two last names. And my father's name was José Candelario Puentes Corredor. And I take my father's name, the first half, and I combine it with my mom's name. And my mom was Elvia. And this is the reason that it's Candelvia Trio. And I want to do that because I want to tribute my parents with our music.
Well, and it's just a beautiful tribute. What was the song that you just played?
Well, this is a vals from our country, and it's called Mañanita Caraqueña. It's like... the translation could be like a...
It's like a little morning in the capital.
Okay, morning... Or in the morning.
Yeah. Early in the morning.
Yeah. Very early in the morning.
It's really such a pretty song, and it there's I like how many different moods there are in it. It makes you feel happy. There's, I wouldn't say sad, but just relaxed and kind of slow.
This is original for piano.
Uh-huh.
And if you listen the piano version, is like when he played ta-da-da. This is like a drops falling, like, you know, when it's really early in the morning.
Yeah, like plink, 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 plink.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like
a little dew in the morning. Yeah.
Oh, it's a very pretty song. Now, tell me a little bit about the instrument you're playing, Leisho. It's sort of like a ukulele.
Well, like you can see in your screen, in your TV. This is like a tenor uke, the size and the shape, and it's a little bigger, and we use also nylon string, and the tuning is pretty close to the uke, but we tune.
Oh.
And the tune in the ukulele is. Different. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly right now what it is. And we don't play like the ukulele. It's like more like making melody. We play more like a...
harmony.
Yeah, unlike a ukulele, and I don't know, this is called is it cuatro?
Cuatro, yeah.
The above, if you were looking at the instrument with the neck up, the upper portion of the body sort of has the pick guard kind of place, and I imagine so.
Yeah.
You can strum a little harder. I don't think a ukulele typically has that on it.
But the way the ukulele, the fingerboard go on the top of the body.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In our instrument, this does is flat. Yeah,
yeah.
Because in this way, if you have the fingerboard on the top, you hit with your fingers. No.
Yeah, I hope you're enjoying hearing us describe what these instruments look like. It's it's not. Fortunately, we have a violin and a bass, which are easier to look at. Let me turn.
But in the right side of your screen, you can see the.
You have to wear the special glasses. Yeah. If you wear the special glasses, you'll be able to see things. Leisho, how long have you lived in Pittsburgh?
I came in 2001.
And did you come from Venezuela direct?
Yeah, I came from Venezuela to Carnegie Mellon.
Okay, and what do you do there?
I attend the special program that they have there, that is called PRP program. And I get classes because I am a bass player too. And I take classes with Anthony Bianco. He was the principal of the bass section of the Pixar Symphony like for 30 years probably.
Oh, that's terrific that you've I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah. And, me too.
Yeah. And also that you hooked up with some pretty talented people. Now, Daniel Morrison lives on Mount Washington and is playing acoustic bass, stand-up bass. How did you get involved with Venezuelan music?
Well,
He has a long.
There's a reason we go until noon. So,
well, I'm married to a very beautiful Venezuelan girl, and then we fell in love with the culture through her family and through Lajo and Juan.
Well, that's terrific.
Yeah,
and it must be fun to play with these guys. Do you play in other groups as well?
Yeah, I was trained classically. I went to Duquesne. I studied with Jeff Turner, and before that, I studied with Don Evans. When I play in local orchestras around, freelancing.
Oh, terrific. And finally, with us, we have Juan, Jaramillo?
Jaramillo.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I'll get better one of these days.
You can say Caramillo. It's fine.
Well, I'm not going to do that. But and Juan, we were talking off air about Juan, he isn't in one place for very long.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
I try to stay busy.
Yeah, Juan plays in Sarasota with the orchestra for its opera, as well as here in Pittsburgh. See how good my memory is with the Wheeling Symphony he plays. And also, I've missed a few in there.
The Wheeling Symphony in West Virginia?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I came in 96. I won a scholarship for undergrad studies in violin performance at Duquesne.
I see.
So I was there for a while, and then I did my master's at Penn State, and then I came back to Duquesne.
Now, you could live just about anywhere, I think, given all of the places that you have regular work. I'm almost afraid to ask, but why did we win here in Pittsburgh? Why are we lucky enough to have you?
Well, I guess that I had the opportunities of start working still while I was at school, and the cultural scene in Pittsburgh is fairly active. And we're extremely fortunate to have such an amazing symphony that I think that also propels other cultural events in Pittsburgh. So the Pittsburgh Opera, the Pittsburgh Ballet, the Chamber Music Society, all these different things that happen in Pittsburgh gave me the opportunity to be a participant. So I'm a full-time member for the opera and ballet, and then I play with the Wheeling Symphony too, which is not too far away from Pittsburgh.
This is the reason that we can play, because he never is here.
Well, I'm so happy that the city has brought the three of you together and that we're able to have the three of you together. What would you like to do next?
Well, we have such an amazing composer in Venezuela, and one of those is Pablo Camacaro, and he also played with a really famous quartet, folk music quartet in Venezuela that is called Raíces.
Roots.
And he wrote many, many songs that we love to play. And the next one is called Pico de Águila. And Pico de Águila is the name of a mountain in Los Andes in Venezuela. And what is that translation? Pico?
Eagle's Peak.
Eagles Peak, but it's the name of the mountain. And probably he tried to describe in this song how the life is amazing when you are on the top of the mountain. And it's like a joropo. It's like a fast vals.
Very good. Once again, here they are, the Candelvia Trio. Oh, that was really beautifully done. And, I was lost in that and listening. And Carlos, just the name Carlos, a family member named Carlos, listening to you right now in Venezuela.
Oh.
Carlos Lopez, congratulations. We are listening to Leijo on the radio from Venezuela.
Yeah, this is he's the husband of my niece.
Well, they just sent an instant input message to us, wanting us to say hello.
Well, thank you, Carlos. You always like that.
It's very cool for that to happen. And, you and I think are both. I think we're all old enough to still be filled with wonder that somebody can send the message that instantly from so far away. It's incredible to me still. I don't know that I'll ever get used to that.
But you can see that how far you can go with this program.
Yeah.
Right now, somebody's listening to your program in Venezuela.
Well, and I'm glad you could hear his family better. It's terrific. It's 28 minutes before noon. Thank you for listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. We're glad you're tuned in. And if you're just tuning in, you're hearing live music. There's nothing between the musicians and you right now. The Candelvia Trio, who specialize in traditional Venezuelan folk music, are here. I know we have three more songs, I think, left to go.
Yes.
And I want to be sure we get them all in. What would you like to play next?
We have another, this is a little bit faster, and it's also is ¿cómo se dice género? Gender.
Gender
of, the gender is joropo, but the joropo.
Genre.
Genre is joropo, but the joropo is like a, how can I tell that? It's like.
Now, joropo is that a dance?
Yes, it's a dance.
Okay.
Then have different way in my country to do, like, this one that we are going to play right now is is common in Venezuela, but it's a mix between 3-4 and 6-8.
Oh, interesting.
And it's like starting 3-4, like 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1, and certain point is like 1-2-3, 4, ta 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 ta. And this is, usually in my country, we have this, like, combination between 3-4 and 6-8. And Dan enjoy a lot play this kind of
thing. Oh, I'll bet. And because you sort of have a relaxed waltz and then almost a march taking place and then a waltz and then a march. This will be try to listen to those tempo changes. I'm sure you'll hear. I don't mean you guys. I mean, I know you'll listen to them, but listening at home, try to hear those tempo changes. It'll be fun to keep track of. And we'll talk a little bit more about music and family life I want to learn a little bit more about that after this song, though.
Okay.
So let's take a listen. Thank you. was fun. And I have to tell you, it seemed to me like it was all in 6/8. It was so fast. Oh, that was so fun. And you make it seem so easy listening to that.
It is. Ask him.
Yeah, Dan's moving here. I didn't see his lips move. He wasn't going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's in the next piece.
Yeah. That piece was called El Avispero, which is like the wasp's nest. Oh. So it's like very fast, very tense.
Like, it's like if you these people is following you, and you need to rush.
The wasp. Yeah, following you.
You need to run.
Juan, while we have you there, and Juan is playing violin, tell me about growing up and music. I think sometimes we make assumptions about other cultures and music. And I would just be curious to know, and it's hard to generalize, but music had to be a big part of your family, I would imagine, given your career. Do other people in your family play?
Yeah, actually, Layo and I are very fortunate because right now in Venezuela is the center for, like, what they call the new classical music. The youth orchestras of Venezuela is becoming more and more famous in every part of the world. And one of the big exponents right now in the United States is Gustavo Dudamel, which is the new conductor for the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and one of the youngest conductors in a professional orchestra in the world right now, only 28 years old. So this orchestra system started around 1975, and it was trying to bring classical music to the poor communities in the country. And it has been evolving and growing, and that's how I started music in a classical sense. But the motivation that I had at the beginning was my mom is a musician too. She's a pianist and a singer, and she did her studies when she was younger, and then she went to pharmacy school, and then she had to quit music at that point. So it was a big motivation for me to start music when I was younger. And when I got to the point that she left off, we ended up going to school because she really wanted to finish her classes.
I see.
So I couldn't get away with homework because I was going to the same classes with her. And there were some other members in my family that are musician aficionados, like violinists and an organ player. And
is there a separation between, I'll call it folk music and classical music,
or
before there was more of a break, but now it's trying to be really much combined, because I just feel that in order for you to be a well-rounded musician, you have to cover a lot of different kinds of music, and I think that everything brings you together much better. If you are a classical trained musician, if you do jazz, obviously you're gonna understand better harmonies and like moods. And
one thing I'll never forget when traveling, and this happened to be in the Czech Republic, was going to an opera and feeling like I was in, it could have been a football game or a baseball game. There were people of all different walks of life and from all different backgrounds around me. Whereas I think sometimes in the United States, when we go to an opera or a symphony, it's not quite as diverse or there aren't as many different kinds of people. What is it like in Venezuela if people were to go to a classical orchestra performance? Is it reaching many different kinds of people?
Yeah, right now, because the youth orchestra has been so involved in the community, they are really trying to bring classical music in such a way that is very accessible.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just like sports. Like, you really try to make it like a team effort, and you want to make, like, every person that is part of the orchestra is extremely valuable. And when you have that mentality from the beginning, anybody who starts violin or whatever instrument, they have a purpose. Instead of, like, I'm just going to be a part of a group and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and people listening have a purpose too.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the other amazing thing is that there are different programs that are really reaching out to bring the essence of humanity much better. Like, there is a lot of prison programs right now that are bringing the classical music. So instead of woodworking, you will actually play clarinet. And there are actually really amazing orchestras in jails right now in Venezuela because of this new program that is being derived from the youth orchestra system that started 30 years ago.
That's terrific. Do you have anything to add to that, Lejo? I didn't mean to.
No, he said everything.
Well, he was more of like a popular musically trained, and then he went into classical music.
Yeah.
So he brings that combination of his background into whatever he does. And I guess that I'm trying to switch. I started classically trained, and I'm trying to go into more folk and more like jazz and lighter kind of music. So I'm learning from him.
Yeah, well, I think that's one it's fun to listen to all three of you because those boundaries, those divisions really don't even seem to be there. It's just music. It's just,
well, and fun. We try to make it fun. Like every time that we have rehearsal, we joke around and, you know, we just have a relaxed time and we try to enjoy instead of like, oh, we have to play every note in tune. And obviously we try to bring like high level of performance when we do it, but I think it's very crucial that we also have fun when we're working together. And sometimes it's hard because
it's more fun than work.
Yeah. So Dan, your musical background, do you play other instruments besides bass? Or?
When I was a kid, I started on saxophone because my dad's a saxophone player and an educator. He taught elementary band. Then I just kind of gravitated to the bass. I've been playing it since.
Where did your dad teach?
He taught in Bethel Park.
Okay.
That's where they still live in the South Hills and everything.
So if you had Mr. Morrison, it might have been Dan's dad,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
And are there other forms of music? Watching you play, I'm guessing jazz, maybe. Mm-hmm. But are there other kinds of music you especially like to play?
I guess the answer would be good music. It doesn't. We're not, as bass players, we have to play a lot of music because every form of music needs a bass player. And so I think all bass players have played rock bands, jazz bands, classical,
Venezuelan.
Venezuelan. Yeah. Maybe not all bass players.
Every form of music needs a bass player. I never thought about that.
Well, you always need the bass. You always need harmony and melody.
Yeah, that makes sense. I never really thought about that, Not true for accordion, not true for banjo.
Because the bass, most of the time you feel the bass. You don't listen to the bass. But the bass is present in every kind of music.
Yeah, you know it when it's missing, and you know it when it's wrong. right?
Exactly.
If it's wrong, it's the unsung hero.
Exactly.
You have to take it to buy cars and see if it fits. We slip it around everywhere.
Do you play electric bass too?
Yeah, that's actually what I started on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Somehow that, I'm sure you could make it sound right, but it's very appropriate to have the acoustic bass here. This is, you're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, and the group here is the Candelvia Trio. And we've got a couple more songs yet to go. What's next?
Well, the next is a piece of the same composer, Pablo Camacaro, and it's called Patatín Patatán. And this, I think it's a game with the words. It's a patatín patatán, like that.
Onomatopoeic, yeah.
See, and it's a merengue. But this is a Venezuelan merengue. It's not the regular merengue that you know from Dominican Republic.
Uh-huh.
That is into like chaka cha chaka cha chaka cha chaka cha chaka cha cha. This merengue is in 5/8.
5/8?
Yeah.
So you need to have a shorter leg to dance.
Wow.
Like a pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to.
That's this is like for lobsters to dance. This is, I don't think I've ever heard of 5/8. That this will be fun to hear.
Yeah, and this is the beast that Dan love.
Well, I guess it's finger tapping music. 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5. Okay.
it's an adjustment.
I'll bet. Well, here it is. It's pataping.
Patating.
Patating.
Patatang.
Patatang. Once again, the Candelvia Trio. If you can keep still as you're listening, more power to you. I guess if you're driving, we're not responsible for any. If you slow down and speed up and slow down and speed up, it's just this music just enters your heart and stays there. It's just really just wonderfully it just makes you feel so many things. Evocative. Craig in Macon, Georgia says hello. And thank you for your note, Craig. And Elba says hello. Elba?
My sister.
Your sister. and this is in Los Teques?
Los Teques,
yes. Yeah. She writes and she says, Lejo, I love.
Oh, so. I love too.
Now, what is the best prospects? I mean, there is a website that we've linked to, layo.puroquesa, paroquesa, jazz Duke.com. I was going to say, how can people hear more of you? You aren't always able to be in the same place at once. So we're
the way is that they call us and hire us, and we are going to play in the parties, on the concerts.
Perfect. So all you need to – you can commission this trio to be at a place you would like. And wouldn't that be a nice thing to do?
Yeah.
Instead of having a DJ or a band play, Three Dog Night songs.
I just wanted to mention that Lajo is the one that has been putting together all these arrangements, because these are pieces that have been written already by very well-known composers in Venezuela. And he was the one that took the music and he arranged it for this kind of ensemble. And he's the multi-talented here. He plays, cuatro. He originally plays bass, but he also plays maracas, and he plays Latin percussion in general. And sometimes he sings.
Thank you for the advertisement, Juan.
But, he was the one that arranged this and initially had the idea of putting together a small group that will bring Venezuelan music in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's simply beautiful, and I hope there will be more playing opportunities. I hope we'll have you back, and we are going to have we'll put a recording of this on our website for others to hear and to link to, and you'll be able to find it at neighborhoodvoices.org in a few days, and we'll make sure you guys have a copy of it as well.
Please, yeah.
I can't thank you enough. You've really brought delight to my morning. It's just been sheer pleasure.
I think we are the one that need to say thank you, Larry, and Jeff, and your wife, and
as Rob. Rob's done a great job.
Rob, our technician. Thank you for your son.
Yeah.
And thank you, guys, for having us here, for let us bring to peace through our music, and thank you.
Yeah, it's just a pleasure. You have one more song?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, this is another song about the same composer, Paolo Camacaro, and it's called Laberinto. It's another, joropo.
What is
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth. Labyrinth. Okay. It's neat. Everybody points at Lejo when I say, tell us about the song, and everybody points.
And when we start to play the music, you are going to know what is the reason that he called this piece Labyrinth. Between him and me, all the melodies is going this.
You know, one technical aspect of playing all this music that we have been doing today is that depending on the piece that we have played, each piece has different difficulties, and this one happens to be a lot of syncopation on my part, and the rhythms that are combined from the bass and the cuatro, so it gets kind of challenging sometimes.
Yeah, they're all very intricate.
Yeah, we never met each other.
But here for their last song, and with our great thanks, we have the Candelvia Trio. Thank you so much, the Candelvia Trio.
Thank you.